continuing in that book of Acts. In our last study, we saw in Acts chapter 11 the reaction of the church, God's people. When Peter had gone to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile, and he preached the good news, Jesus Christ, to the very one whom was hanged on a tree and a rope the third day. He preached this message, Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. That's that assurance I was just talking about a moment ago in my prayer. Oh, how thankful we can be for the assurance that we have of salvation, not in anything that we have in this flesh, not in anything that we do or think or feel, but only in his word about him. That's the only assurance we have. You may recall that they were of the circumcision contended with him, as it said in verse 2 of chapter 11, not because of the message, but for whom he preached it to. They didn't have a problem with him preaching Jesus Christ as Lord of all. They just said, well, you can't be taking that to those folks. The law says you can't. I hesitate down there because I want you to think about that for a minute. Grace and mercy goes out to all. That's what we preach to all. All four corners. All the corners of the earth. Grace and mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ. He who hath an ear, let him hear. They didn't contend with him because of the message, but for whom he preached it to, not for the preaching of Christ and him crucified, but for something other. And we also saw in verse 18, when they had taken the word of the Lord, when they had been taken to the word of the Lord, God's people yielded to it, for they, as you and I, have been given the gift of belief, the gift of faith, that God's word is true. In John 14:6, we read this, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but by the Father. In Romans 3, verse 4, we read this, let God be true, but every man a liar. And then in James 1:18, we read these words, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. I consider myself the least when it comes to knowledge of scriptures. But I believe it all. If there is any man who could stand up and say, I don't understand almost all of this. Folks, I don't understand how God became a man. He tells me in his word, though, he did. I know I'm using examples of something very simple, but isn't that the simplicity of believing God's word? I don't understand how God in the flesh was made sin, but he says in his word he was. I don't understand how a perfect and holy God could love a sinful creature as this one who stands before you. But he says he does. And I believe it. And I'm going to stand here in this pulpit as long as he gives me the ability to and tell people that I believe God. And I believe he died for a people that he had chose before the world was, and that I am one of those. Not because of some foolish feeling that I've got in my body, some euphoric something that may go through my mind, but because he says so in his word. I know. We sing that song. You ask me how. I know he lives. I know he lives because he lives in my heart. This man who stands before you was once blind to the truths of God's word, to the truths of spiritual things. And the Lord has opened my eyes and let me see the sinfulness that I am. And in the grace and mercy and revelation of that, he has shown me his love for his people. And he says in his word, he doesn't do that to everyone, but only to those that he has loved. I know in my heart that this is the word of truth. In the world, I question what is. But there is no questioning my Lord's word. When those folks were taken to the word of God, when Peter brought the word of God to those folks, the brothers and sisters of Christ, they yielded. What did they say? Let's go back. I'm going to go back there and look for just a moment here. And when they had heard these things, verse 18, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. They heeded to the word of God. His ways are not my ways. I understand little of God's word, but I understand this. His ways are not my ways. His ways are right and true and righteous and holy and just and true. I may have duplicated myself there once, but that's okay. Sometimes that can be difficult to see, but true nonetheless. Here in the book of Acts chapter 12, we're about to see an example of the trials God's people may be faced with. Trials of persecution. Are you with me in Acts chapter 12? Let's begin at verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarters of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church and unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the doors kept the prisons, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. In other words, Peter wasn't sure if he was in a daydream or things were just miraculously hoping. I can understand that very thing, because you think about that. You're all bound and all of a sudden your chains just fall off you. And this angel of light is standing there next to you and says, come on, let's go. And then as you go, the door just opens without anybody touching it. Yeah, I'd be wondering what that was. Am I just dreaming this? Going on. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came upon the iron gate and leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Now I'm going to stop there. And we may spend a couple of weeks right here on these verses, but I'm going to start with these first verses. In verse 1, our Lord loosed the hands of Herod. Folks, nothing happens. That light does not turn red unless our Lord has purposed it to turn red. Aren't you thankful he purposes it to turn green sometimes? I know that sounds humorous, but folks, isn't that reality? Isn't that reality? Does he not control the very air that we breathe? Is he not God over every piece and every detail and every molecule and every fine little thing of our existence and in the universe? That's why we call him God, isn't it? Because he is in control of it. He loosed the hands of Herod. Herod did exactly what his nature was. He persecuted those who represent the truth, those who shine the light of truth. The light of truth exposes the natural man and the wickedness of man. So by his nature, Herod stretched forth his hand and vexed certain ones of the church, as it said. Folks, as it is with all things, our God rules over it all. Imagine how Peter must have been thought when he was feeling when he was taken in. He knew that James had been killed. I'm sure that word went out to everyone. And Peter's probably laying there between those men. How am I going to get out of this? Lord, it looks like it's time. Looks to me like it's my time to go, Lord. Here it comes. I'd be laying there between those guards thinking to myself, please, Lord, don't let it be painful. Take the pain away. Listen to the words of John chapter 19, verse 11. Jesus answered and said, thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. And then in Matthew 10:25, our Lord is speaking to you and I. And although the New Testament wasn't written yet, I have no doubt that our Lord spoke in some way, either by reminding Peter of a statement, maybe a possible where in Isaiah, where the Lord declares he is Lord of all. Maybe he brought some verses from the Old Testament to Peter's mind to comfort him. But he says these words to all of us. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant of his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? If they hated our Lord Jesus Christ, just as you and I hated him at one time, how shall they not hate us? How shall we not be persecuted for our Savior's sake? That's what Peter was being persecuted for. He hadn't done anything. He was just out preaching the Word of God. We saw in verse 11, he was preaching Jesus is Lord of all. What a simple message. I can't think of anything more comforting, more beneficial as a believer than a clear understanding of and a confidence in the providential hand of my God. A man by the name of B.B. Warfield puts it this way. A firm faith in the universal providence of God is the solution of all earthly problems. It is almost equally true that a clear and full apprehension of the universal providence of God is the solution to most theological problems. You got a problem with God's word? Well, Lord, be your will. You know it all. You run it all. You're Lord of everything. What a simple answer that is, but what a wonderful answer that is. Oh, I don't have to work for anything. You don't have to work for anything. We just sit there and say, yep, Lord, you're Lord of all. Whatever comes our way. Divine providence is simply this, folks. Our Lord, the Lord that we read about in these scriptures from cover to cover, He who is called Jesus Christ the Lord, is Lord of all creation, and He's governing His creation. Don Fortner wrote this. He said, in the providence of God, graciously and wisely, in providence, God graciously and wisely brings to pass all that He purposed in eternity and all that He has promised in Scriptures. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, and all things are of God. Learn that, he writes Don, and you have learned the only thing that can sustain your heart in peace when your life is full of trouble. Faith in God's sovereign providence is the only antidote there is to anxiety and fear. Why do we not fear like the rest of our country right now? Well, why do you not fear like the rest of the country does right now? Because the Lord's in control. Isn't it just as easy as that? Happy is the man, wrote Don. Actually, he says, happy is the man, wrote William Cooper, who sees God employed in all the good and ill that checkers our life. End of quote. We are not promised, folks. God didn't promise you and I a light and gentle life in this world. There are many men who want to stand in pulpits and say, if you'll just come down and accept Jesus into your heart, there'll be no more troubles in your life. Everything will be good because of what you've done. Our peace is in our Savior and in Him alone. Look at me with Luke chapter 12, if you would. Go over to Luke chapter 12. We'll be leaving Acts, so turn over to Luke chapter 12. Look with me, if you would, at verses 49 through 53. Speaking of what I just said, that our Lord has not promised us a light and gentle life, our Lord says in verse 49 of Luke chapter 12, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from thenceforth there shall be five in one household divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Does that sound like peace? Does that sound like simple times? Could you imagine what that's like? I have a large family. I have a large family, and I know what that's like. I don't need to share it with anybody, but you just trust me. I know what it's like to have brothers and sisters that are divided. And I'm not talking about just religious things. I'm talking about world things. You want to see a family divided so quickly? Have a mom or dad die with a bunch of money. As a man who used to drive limousines, I would spend a lot of time in mortuaries and wherever there might be a ceremony for those that had just passed on. And I could hear the bickering and the fighting going on between brothers and sisters. moms and their sons over the money, how it's going to be distributed. Our Lord does not promise us a life or a path of gentle. As long as we walk in this life, our path is that of tough love, righteous love, teaching love. Brother Mike sent me I got time for this? Yeah, I do. He sent me a thing on Facebook, and I'm going to share this because I don't think Polly Mary looks at Facebook, but this mom and this cub bear are going straight up a snow-covered cliff. And it's just, I mean, I don't know how deep it is, but it's deep enough where and the mom just boof, she scampers right up to it. And the little cub, he gets up there and he keeps sliding back down and he keeps sliding back down. I didn't notice this until we talked about it Friday night, but at one point that little cub got up there and mom swatted him back down. He went back down again and then he went all the way back down that time, as a matter of fact. And he finally runs back up some dirt, gets over to a little smaller area, and he gets up on top. And no sooner he gets up on top, mom takes off. Yeah, okay, you're here. It's about time, you little twit. Come on, let's go. And he takes off after her. Tough love. That bear would not last a minute if mom wasn't teaching it how to live. Folks, we're not going to last a minute unless God comes to our hearts and teaches us how to get by. And what does He do? He teaches us that you are weak. John Reeves, you can't do anything. Turn to my son. Turn to my son. I love that. It's hurtful. It's painful. But when it's all done, what do? Lord, we come to you and thank you. We come to you and thank you for our trials. As Paul said, we glory in the trials and tribulations you send our way. What do when you teach us? We turn to your Son. As God goes about teaching the things of Christ to us, we will be troubled by this world. Brother Mike sang this song the other day, and oh, how it is one of my favorite ones to sing too. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And the things of this world will turn strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. As believers, we know that our trials, which wherever they are sent of God. Listen to John chapter 2, verse 9. Then said his wife unto me, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse Job. I'm sorry, I said John. Let me back up. Listen to Job chapter 2, verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But listen to Job's reply to that in verse 10. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Again, I tell you, nothing happens in this world, folks, except that which our God has decreed for the good of His people, as we read in Romans 8:28. All things are for the good to them who love the Lord, who are called of the Lord. Our God rules all things in this world, the elements of nature, the pure thoughts of men, the deeds of all His creatures. Look over, if you would, at Proverbs. We're going to look at several verses quickly over in Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Right after the Psalms. Proverbs 16. Our God rules all things in this world. He rules the elements of nature. He rules the thoughts of men, whether they be His or not. He rules the deeds of all His creatures. Herod was loosed by the hand of God to do what he did to James, to do what he did to Peter. But it wasn't Peter's time. This is a picture to you and I to show us that our Lord rules over everything for us. We can truly say in our hearts that all things are for our good, including going to prison if we hadn't done anything. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is what? Is from the Lord. Can't argue with that, can you? Look at verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Now look over at verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now turn over to Proverbs 21, just a few pages to the right. Proverbs 21, and let's look at verse 1. Proverbs 21. Verse 1. The king's heart. Now, people may think, oh, that's the president of the United States. Oh, that's the king and queen over there in England. Folks, you are the king of your heart. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. As we go through the trials of this life, we can be assured of these five things. And we're going to turn to some scriptures. Romans 8:28, we all know this. The first of five, God sent your trial. All things are for our good. God will sustain you through your trial. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Our Lord sustains us in every trial that we go through. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we read this, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Thirdly, our God will be with us in that trial. Turn over to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Our Lord will be with us as we go into these trials through our life. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, we read this, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fourthly, our God will bring our trial to a good end. Again, switch over to the New Testament and look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, right after Hebrews there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. What does it say? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. What does it say? 1 Peter chapter 1. That your trial, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious of gold than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whatever trial we go through, it will bring us to praise and give our Lord and Savior all the glory. That tells us that it doesn't continue. It will end. Now I want to hold up there for just a moment because I don't know about you folks, but I've seen some trials that seem like they don't end for people. I can't help but think of our dear brother Lamar. Every time I speak with him, it's as though his wife is still with him. And I'm sure Roger understands completely these things. I have no doubt that Gene and Judy understand these things of their son that they lost, my brother and his wife of the son that they have lost. But the day is coming when we will leave this world. And those trials will be behind us, and we'll be in heaven with those very ones we love once again. The trials for us will come to an end, whether the Lord brings them to the end of us on this earth or whether we leave this earth and go to be with Him. Trials of our brother Don Jukic are no more. And fifthly, God will get glory to Himself through our trials. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 36. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. We're almost done, folks. Just bear with me another moment or two here. 11, verse 36. I know it's right here somewhere. There it is. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I don't seek trials, but I am comforted in knowing that they are for my good. I am comforted that God will not give me more than I can handle. In what seems to be too much for me, He will sustain me through it, even if it's of the ending of my life on earth and bringing me to glory. Look with me at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and then I'll bring this with a close just after that. Romans chapter 5. Read with me the 11 verses, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto His grace, wherein He stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. God allowed Herod to kill James, but He saved Peter for a time. It's important that we understand for a time. In Romans 8:36 through 39, you don't need to turn there, it says this: as it is written, for thy sake, for our Lord's sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded, writes Paul, and for I am persuaded would be what I would love to say, that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me, to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.